Hello and welcome to another episode of In the Margins. My name is Eli, and here with me today is Brianna. Brianna is a recent Sheridan Art School graduate looking towards a future in technical illustration. She loves cats and tattoos, and her previous works can be found at brievanesh.com. That's BrieveNesch.com. You can also find her on Instagram with that same name. And if you're looking for the link, I will link it in the description. How you doing, Brianna?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm good. We both said that we didn't want to get out of bed for this, but
it's a lovely rainy day, and there'd be nothing better than to like sit down on the couch with a cup of coffee.
Yeah, so of course I chose this day specifically so that you can't do that.
Well, thanks for foiling all my plans, but I'm more than happy to talk to you. This is really exciting.
You're very welcome. I'm excited to talk to you too. So, jumping right into it, you're aiming to be a technical illustrator. So, what got you into art?
Yeah, so I think many different things draw people into art for different reasons. But for me, I had a lot of trouble sitting still at school. Specifically, I remember an incident when I was in sixth grade, and like my teacher, he was really, really great. He just noticed that I couldn't sit still, couldn't concentrate, couldn't do math, English, whatever. And he actually went into the staff room and got me these giant pieces of paper that we just put out on my desk. And he was like, you don't need to write notes. You don't need to do anything. Just draw what you want and, you know, use that as a way to concentrate in class. So that was amazing. It was game changing. I was actually able to like do work and like be a productive human, I guess.
It's funny that you say that, because right now, to focus, I'm drawing.
It's crazy because I have the same piece of paper out in front of me. I mean, I told you before the interview started even that like preparing for this interview, I mind mapped everything out, and there's nothing but like I'm itching to like take a pen out and just be like, this is what I'm saying, and this is how I like visualize what I'm saying. So crazy. And when I first started drawing, actually, all I wanted to draw were house floor plans and hands, for completely different reasons. Although like drawing out floor plans was just so soothing. It was like, this is a square, this is where the kitchen is, and this is where the living room is, and like it wasn't anything crazy. It was just easy to do and it was fun. And then hands, because we all have hands and they're right in front of you and you can make them do weird things and wiggle them around. And I like drawing things that I could see in front of me instead of just drawing characters out of my head, because I found I didn't really have a lot of those characters that popped into my head that I could just draw like I know some of my friends do. And yeah, just like school's crazy, and drawing helped me get through it.
So pro tip to anyone who's struggling paying attention in class, draw.
Literally draw, write, like do almost something that's almost mindless, and then you'll get through it, I promise. And if that doesn't work, don't come after me.
No, I get that, because it also might just be a neurodivergent thing. I don't know if you have any of those, but it's pretty common that we need to have something to do with our hands or do something other. You can't just do one thing.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm not diagnosed with anything. So, you know, on paper, like neurotypical, that is who I am. But my entire identity is neurotypical. Thank you so much. But my partner is ADHD, and they have to drum. They just tap on everything constantly, and that's how they focus, right? So You got to figure out what works for you, and what worked for me was drawing. And to say to that, like, neurodivergent people, obviously you got to figure out what works for you, but even for like neurotypical people, like sometimes you have trouble concentrating and you need to figure out like different techniques to help you concentrate when you need to.
Yeah.
Those are ways. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's really great that your teacher, I thought you were going to go and say that he got you one of those pedal chairs, like the desks with the pedals on the side. I wonder if that would have helped you.
I don't think that would have worked for me because, like, it's about engaging your brain in a different way that allows you to focus on a different task. It's almost like, you know, when you're really struggling with a problem and you're like, okay, I can't figure this out right now, but if I don't think about it and I go make myself dinner and I have a nice nap, when I come back to it in the morning, I might be able to have a better grasp on it and actually be able to solve it. I think it's kind of like that.
I can't relate because I'm the type that will bash my head into the bricks until it works.
I usually, if I like, I'm really, really struggling with like an illustration problem, I end up like just falling asleep at my desk.
Oh, no.
Like I'll just fall asleep on my work and then, you know, someone will come around and like poke me and be like, hi, are you okay? Like, what are you doing?
Your younger siblings be like, guys, or Brianna, are you alive? Brianna?
And it's a no. It's always a no. I'm not alive. Actually, a ghost.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It is. Yeah.
I can't believe I'm interviewing a ghost.
Is this a first on your podcast?
I would say yes. As far as I know, none of the other guests have been ghosts.
No, that's great. Awesome. I'm your first ghost.
You're my first ghost.
First neurotypical ghost, we've established that.
Oh my gosh. First neurotypical ghost. Wow. Just the amount of diversity on my show is just astounding.
Mm-hmm. This is what we aim for. Yeah. So, speaking of like not being able to sit still when it comes to art, obviously I've chosen a career path for myself that means I am an illustrator. Which means I have to sit still for long periods of time.
Good job.
Which is crazy. I don't know what I was thinking. And I do have to say my work chair at my desk is this god-awful, tiny wooden chair that my mother picked up off the side of the road that I've tried to make a little bit more comfy by putting a pillow down the back and like a blanket over it. And it's awful. It's absolutely awful. I don't know. I need to invest in a new chair. It's really what I need to do.
You do. Get yourself a nice like desk office chair or get a standing desk.
Yeah. I think that would be even better for me.
Because sure. I got one recently, and it is amazing.
Game changer, you would say?
Game changer, absolutely. Because when I'm doing classes, and since it's all Zoom classes, I'm stuck usually sitting for several hours a day, and I can't move because my headphones are attached to my computer, right?
Yeah. You know what else is a game changer? Bluetooth headphones. Oh yeah, you gotta get yourself a pair. And don't shell out for like the cheap stuff. Like you know, get yourself a good mid-range size wireless pair of headphones. They're fantastic.
Noted. I will.
Yes. Good.
So. Like I said, you're an illustrator. So what kind of art does that mean that you do? Like any styles in particular or I guess anything that you would typically draw or create more often?
I love that you bring up the style question. The style question is such a contentious issue, especially while you're at art school, and we can get into that in a little bit as well.
Drama in art school,
it's so exciting. let's first of all, like, let's define style. Like, what is style?
Oh, you're going into teaching mode.
Oh my god, this is terrible. Should I stop?
No, go ahead.
Okay, let's define style. So, you know, style is a way of drawing or a way of creating a piece of artwork that flows from piece to piece to piece, is consistent, is, you know, artistically pleasing to the eye. Or maybe it's not, but the point is that it has a consistency, and that consistency goes through different pieces, whether those pieces are different sizes, different subject matter, the way it is being, the media is being handled is the same. And style can be applied to writing, to music, to sculpture, illustration, obviously, fine art. It just keeps going. I wonder if they're like, you could apply to business. I bet you could.
I bet you could.
Yeah. Yeah. So in terms of me in particular, I am drawn towards textured pieces of artwork. Anything that is like super, like looks like you want to dip your fingertips right in and like knead it around a little bit. Like that is the type of work that I love to create. That is the type of the work that I do enjoy seeing as well.
I definitely see it in your art.
I hope so. I've had to learn over the years how to like pull back from that, and like, you know, what is the balance between you know, adding those textures in and having those areas of respite, you know, where the audience can go and have like a visual rest. And I guess that's part of growing as an artist too, figuring out what the balance in your work looks like. So if we were going to define like a style for me, that's what I would say it is. Yeah. And I think style is so, it's so changeable, and it needs to be changeable as well. Your style should evolve with you as you evolve as a human, and how you develop your style, I believe, should stem from your understanding of the basic concepts of drawing. So basic concepts being composition, color, tonal studies, line, shape. How you handle all those very basic aspects is what's naturally going to draw you towards your style. Because for me, seeing all this conversation about style, how many times can I say style in this interview?
So many. Like,
do you want to start a checklist? We'll go at it at the end.
I'll make a mark on my drawing every time you say style.
Perfect. I love it. Okay. So, yeah. So the dangers of style is, you know, let's say you're looking at your favorite, like anime artist, you know, there's this TV show animation you really love. And you're like, okay, my style is going to be like the way that person draws. And you don't want that. Like you want to be you. And when you copy or imitate someone else's drawing like that, as a beginner, it's really, really great. And it like helps project you forward in your artistic career, in your artistic life. But as you get older, you really want to, you know, dive back down into yourself and be like, who am I as a person? What do I have to say? And how is it that I draw, and how is it that I say it? And that's why style is a contentious issue, pretty much.
See, that's really interesting for me, because I've never thought that deeply about art, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I would say that, like, I don't know much about art, so I just do whatever I want.
And I think that is amazing, and that's the way you know, most people should approach doing art, like just doing whatever you want. Like if you want to copy those anime TV shows because that's what you want to do, then you should definitely go for it. But in terms of making like an actual career, like following a fine artist path, following a illustration path, following even an animation path to some degree, animation. Now, I'm not an expert in animation. I went to school for illustration. So it can be slightly different. But it's all about what is something new that you bring to the table. Even in like writing, right? Like you don't want to rewrite the same book as someone else. You want to be, what is it that I can bring to the table that is different from other people? And that's what you can't get just by, you know, copying the way someone else draws.
Yeah, for sure. Would you say that there's kind of, because you mentioned anime, copying anime artists, and I've heard a lot of people say, don't start with anime, always start with realism. Would you say that one is preferred over the other in the art world? Like one is more highbrow than the other?
Oh man, okay.
Getting controversial here.
No, I think, okay. There, I definitely believe in, if you are planning on starting to learn how to draw, you know, you go to your local art community center and you sign up for like the most basic how to draw drawing class that you can. The people that are teaching you, they should definitely be starting with drawing from life. Because when you look at let's say you got a still life of apples and bananas, if we're going to go the classical route, and taking that still life, looking at it in the three-dimensional space and translating it to a 2D space, because you're changing from 3D to 2D, and that's a big deal, right? So changing from 3D to 2D, I'm so sorry, I lost my train of thought because someone just checked it open my bedroom door. going to those art schools, starting from the very basics, drawing from life, learning about color, learning about tone, learning about composition on a page, lines, shapes, and how all those different things come together to create the piece of work is all super, super important. But also, like, as a beginner student, you need to draw the things that you're interested in. And if you're interested in doing and interested in drawing those anime characters that you love so much, then I think that it's super important that you do that as well, in addition to learning the basics of it. Because you're not going to get far in drawing or in any sort of creative career if you're not drawing and writing about and performing things that you actually want to do. You know, you get a little bit more, you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, right?
Right.
Yeah. So in terms, you brought up highbrow, and I definitely laughed at that because I just think that, you know, you see things like the banana duct tape to the wall going for multi-$1 million, right? I'm pretty sure that's is that a meme? I don't think I really
are you thinking about maybe the cheese with a piece of hair on it as well?
Oh my god, anything of those things. Or back in the 60s, there was an artist that did only white paintings, and it was just different shades of white. And these sorts of things, they're very conceptual. And I think sometimes people who create these things, you know, they can definitely be a little full of themselves, a little bit narcissistic, and are like, you know, my art's better than someone else's because my concept is crazy and I'm judging the capitalistic tendencies of first world countries or whatever.
And then, like, they make a bunch of cash off of it.
And then, you know, they get on their private jets and go around the world 3 times and, you know, contribute to global warming and all that good jazz, right? And I think people that think some art is more highbrow than other art don't. I think it's just kind of sad because, like, all art has a certain amount of value to it, right? Whether it's the value that you put it into it yourself, because, you know, this is the piece of art I created when I was really sad, and now that has meaning to me because it helped get me out of that dark place. Or, you know, this is a piece of art that I painted for my mother, and you know, now and she really treasures that, right? Art is art has the value that you give to it. And I don't think that means that one piece of art can be better than another piece of art. I think that's kind of ludicrous.
That was a sweet answer.
I just, yeah, I see so many people, so like, especially young kids, and where they're always like, you know, my art's not good enough. My art's not good enough. And I'll never be able to draw anything that I actually like, and, you know, so on and so forth. And I just think that's toxic. And I think it's so sad. And it's so sad to watch, because, you know, art and the process of drawing, the process of creating, can be so healing. And I hate seeing that healing power being demolished by something as, hey, some other kid coming up and being like, you used the wrong shade of orange, so therefore your art is a piece of shit, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's crazy.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's kind of like the whole, I'm equating this to the closest thing that I have, which is writing.
Yeah, let's do it.
So it's kind of like the fan fiction Mary Sue versus like published work. It's like, it's one doesn't really have more value than the other. It's, and you don't need to put people down just because it's something that you personally aren't into, right?
Yep, I agree 100%.
Yeah, there's value in whatever you want to put value in. Some people might not care about my Pokemon cards. I really like my Pokemon cards. And so they might throw them in the trash, whereas I would cry if they threw my Pokemon cards in the trash.
Yeah, that's exactly it, right? And you can't, I feel like we as people, we cannot decide for other people what they can put value in and what they can't put value in. Like, mm-hmm. that's not okay. That's not inclusive. That's not, you know, welcoming. And I don't think that's the community that artists want to be in the first place.
Yeah, so long as you're not harming anyone else, why should you care?
Exactly. And that is a really, really important piece to make, right? Because there is artwork out there, and there is work that some people produce that is harmful to other people. You know, whether it's about one person specifically as a form of bullying, or whether it's about minority communities, or, you know, just talking about people who are neurodivergent, or, you know, what have you. We could go on and on. And that sort of work is, it's not okay to, you know, like, try to further your own artistic career by putting down someone else. Yeah, no.
Yeah, don't do it. Brianna will come after you.
I'll find you. Don't you worry.
I think they should be worried if you do find them.
I don't think I would do anything. I'm too much of a teddy bear.
You would like look at them disapprovingly and like mutter something. I remember a story. So for anyone listening, Brianna is friends with my sister, and they went to high school together. And I remember hearing a story of where you went to a museum, and one of the exhibits was a stack of backpacks. And Brianna goes to my sister, "Man, I want to knock that thing over. I want to give it a really good push." And the security guard saw them and followed them all the way out until they left the exhibit area.
It was a really tall stack of bags. Like, it just, like, it looked like Leaning Tower of Pisa. You know, sometimes you just have these moments. I would never actually knock over another artist's work like that, but
if it was just freestanding backpacks, though, it's anyone's game. I remember her telling me that, and I was like, yes, I would say the same thing. I get it.
And I love that the security guard is, like, you know, doing its their job by following around two 15-year-olds.
I'm sure they've had people who would actually have done it, is the thing.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. But yeah, me and your sister,
I don't think
there's no way.
Yeah, my sister, if you've seen John Mulaney, pour soup in her lap and she would apologize to you. So, yeah, no worries about my sister there.
This is true. Yeah.
She's not confrontational in any sense.
Yeah, that is also true. Yeah.
So, do you have any favorite or least favorite styles so we can start the tally up again?
Okay, let's talk about style. Yeah, let's go back into it. Okay, I'm going to answer this no. I don't have a favorite or a least favorite. I do have ones that I prefer over another for various reasons. Like I mentioned before, I really like the look of textured work over top of things that are a bit more minimalist. But I personally think that has to do with the oversaturation of minimalist, color-filled vector work that has, you know, infiltrated the mainstream media, Facebook, whatever. I'm sure you all can picture kind of what I'm talking about a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's not saying that that work has any less value, because a lot of that work is metaphor-based and is incredibly hard to actually produce. To like come up with a visual metaphor for like an article or something is so difficult. It's really, really hard. I have a friend that does an amazing, amazing job of it. A few of my profs also specialize in that kind of work as well. And
they're
the reason
too powerful
why
for this world.
Yeah, they do crazy stuff. And, you know, the reason why they are drawn towards doing more minimalistic, stylized work is because the concepts take so long to come up with. And, you know, you really want the idea, the concept to shine through over top of the artwork. Like how you render something doesn't have as much meaning as the way that the visual is composed. What the elements of the visual are. So that's why someone might be drawn towards a more minimalistic style, or maybe that's even why when I go through my process of creating a piece, depending on what I want my final outcome to be, that would be a reason why I would move towards a more minimalistic style versus something that is highly decorative and detailed in like the final rendering of a piece.
Right.
Yeah, I think another thing that I would like to bring up that is, I think it's interesting, and you can really see it is you can tell when an artist loved creating the piece that they are showing you, and you can see it through the actual finished piece of artwork. You can see their joy, you can see their happiness in creating that piece. And those are the types of artwork that I'm drawn to, is people who just have that basic joy in creating the work. We know whether that's in writing, whether that's in drawing, whether that's in music. Just being able to see the joy of someone else, I find is so inspiring. It's beautiful.
Aw, that's nice. So you're like going to your friends, be like, show me your favorite piece of art.
Because it's so cool to see what someone thinks is their best piece of art versus someone else. I know in school, one of the things that we did when we were all in fourth year is that we were told to, you know, put together a website, our portfolio of our pieces of our work, you know, arrange everything. And we had to choose, we got given this huge list of like different art directors, different already established professionals in the industry. And, you know, we're told to choose two. And we got to sit down for a 20-minute interview with them where they're able to go through all of our work. And you know, pieces that, for me in particular, pieces that I thought were really, really good pieces of work, you know, just on like a technical basis, were ones that this one art director didn't really like. And she preferred this other one that I didn't think was good at all. And then the second art director I saw, she really liked the piece that I also really liked. So it can be super subjective. And it all depends on, you know, your past history and styles that you prefer to. So you never know until you show someone else what they're going to like. You can just know what you like.
Yeah. And since we're on the topic, want to talk about art school?
Oh my God. Do I want to talk about art school? Let's do it. Where do you want me to begin?
How about we start from why art school?
Okay. I'm gonna talk a little bit about my personal path to art school, and then we can talk about like general things that I experienced that my peers experienced while in art school. So, you know, for many people, they graduate high school here in Canada, here in Southern Ontario. You graduate high school. The common path is that you go to straight to a college, university, 4-year degree program. You graduate and then you don't know what the hell you're doing with the rest of your life. So I graduated high school, and during high school, I wanted to do a whole bunch of different things. For a while, I wanted to be an airline pilot. I wanted to, be a biologist for a while. And I actually ended up going to school to University of Toronto Scarborough. And I was pursuing a degree in molecular biology and biotechnology.
Ooh,
good old science land. And during my first semester there, I was, you know, sitting in this chemistry lab, which was on the second basement floor of our campus. And I'm just like, I do not want to be sitting at a chemistry lab desk for the rest of my life, which is what I would have been doing if I finished pursuing that degree. So that's where I decided I was going to go to art school, pretty much. And I had already heard about the illustration program at Sheridan College back when I was in high school. My art teacher, you know, we sat down for a parent teacher conference back when I was in grade 10. And I told her that I was going to be an airline pilot. And she laughed her head off and she went, "Brianna, absolutely not. That's not what you're going to do. You're going to end up going to this illustration program at Sheridan College." And this was in grade 10, mind you. So, you know, 3 years later, when I'm in University of Toronto, going to school for science and being like, "Huh, my old high schooler teacher was right. I don't want to be here. I'd rather be in art school." So I actually made the decision to stick out the year at U of T, finish the year, finish all my courses. So I did first and second semester. And I made my portfolio from scratch. While in residence, while going to school full time for a degree that I didn't want to go to. And I didn't realize how crazy that was until I actually got to art school. And when I got to art school, when I got to Sheridan, when I got to that illustration program, first year, first week of classes, I realized that basically every single person in my class, in my program, actually came from the Art Fundies program or the VCA program at Sheridan, where they had spent, you know, approximately one to two years putting together a portfolio for the illustration or the animation program at Sheridan College.
Oh, good job.
Which, it was just crazy to me, just crazy to me. And part of what made me successful is I utilized the different portfolio days that Sheridan had, like portfolio review days. And I went to them, showed the profs my portfolio, and they gave me tons of pointers that I was able to fix up on. And that's why I was successful. If I just applied straight out of the gate and never showed my portfolio to anyone, I never would have gotten in. There's no way. So I'm finally at Sheridan, and just the environment in art school, and this could be because I went to U of T. I'm not entirely sure what it's like at Laurier, but I'm sure it's much better than U of T. My first impression of art school is oh my gosh, everyone is so inclusive. People are happy. People want to talk to you. I can turn to the person next to me and have a conversation. Oh my God, that's crazy. That's so crazy. At U of T, like, you'd be sitting in a lecture hall with like 600 other kids, and like, you could turn to the person next to you and they would literally sneer at you for wanting to talk to them. Like, it's crazy. I really hope that doesn't happen at Laurier.
I've never been on campus, so I can't say. I think people are relatively friendly. I'm not exactly sure, but I've made friends.
Well, don't do that to people when you get on campus, because it's mean.
Brianna, you've seen me. You know I'm relentlessly friendly.
I know you would never do anything like that. That is true. Yeah, so I basically went to art school. Now, this sounds crazy, and I know it sounds crazy, and it's definitely doesn't go that science route that I'm very proud of, but I basically went to art school to, rediscover what made me whole, to rediscover what gave me satisfaction in my life that I lost when I went to University of Toronto to pursue science. And that's why I went to art school. So now we're at art school. What do you want to know about first?
I was wondering, was anyone disapproving of your choice to go into art? Because you went from a potentially very lucrative career to one that is potentially very unstable.
So this is hilarious. So I always thought this was really funny, because when I went, the program I chose to go to at University of Toronto was the bottom tiered science program. And there was a hierarchy in science. So at the very bottom is ecology, like wildlife field work biology. Next level up, kind of molecular biology. You got a little bit of chemistry going on in there. Basically, anything to do with biology, stick her at the bottom of the stack. Next level up, we got chemistry. And, chemistry can be, can go a little bit farther up the food chain, a little bit farther down, whatever, but it's generally in the middle. At the very top of the academic sciences, badges of honor, of greatness, is physics. And if you weren't a physics major, you were a piece of shit. And wow. you were never going to make anything in the world. You knew you weren't going to have a career, that you weren't ever going to be able to do anything. So for me, going from biology, where, I was already being told that, like, oh, you weren't going to like be able to actually do anything with your life, because you're a biology major and you didn't go to physics, to go to illustration, it was kind of like, whatever.
I've heard it all before.
Yeah. Exactly. It was like, I just got told this for going to school for science. And now you're telling me about, like, I'm never going to be able to make something of myself now that I'm going to school for illustration. I was like, this stinks like a you problem, not a me problem. that being said, my parents were pretty disappointed that I left, and I knew that whatever decisions I made, I had to make the right one for myself, because at mm-hmm. the end of the day, I'm the only person I'm going to live with for the rest of my life, right? So
it's your life.
It's my life, and I needed to do something that was going to make me happy, and I knew that illustration, art, that's what I needed to do in this moment. People don't like it when you leave science to go pursue art. People think you're weird. Even in art school, like I was saying before, so many people knew straight from high school that they wanted to be children's books illustrators or, design art for video games and movies and whatever. So they went and they did those art fundy programs, or that VCA, which is visual communication arts. So they go to those programs, they use that as a launch pad to get into, most of them are animation hopefuls, but also illustration hopefuls as well. So that's kind of crazy. And I think whatever path people choose in the creative career, there's always going to be naysayers. There's always going to be people who say you can't do it. And unfortunately, a lot of the time it comes from your own family.
Yes. Yeah. I've heard a lot about that. Anyone who, because not to lie, it is hard being an artist in pretty much any form. Like it's not the same as your regular 9-to-5 jobs. A lot of it depends on networking and a lot of hustling and doing it yourself.
That is 100%,
100%. Go for it.
Yeah, and you never know if you can do something unless you try, right? Mm. And like being an artist, you know, all it is, it's hard work. It is working a lot. It is, you know, you have to figure out how to work smartly to fit it into the lifestyle that you want. But if you don't have a work ethic, then like, don't go to art school. Don't do it. two reasons. One, Sheridan College, tuition wise, it cost way more than University of Toronto, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. And also, I worked way harder at Sheridan than I ever did at U of T. Like I said, I took a full course load and I still managed to find time to make an entire portfolio from scratch. So
three jobs.
Yeah. And I was at UT. So, but at Sheridan, art programs at Sheridan, especially the bachelor's degree programs at Sheridan, they will work you to the bone. Actually, funny story. So the illustration program at Sheridan just got audited again by the Ontario College University Board. And they got audited back in the late 2000s as well. And the general consensus was to the professors was, guys, you need to like slow down on your curriculum because like these students can't live.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy. Cause they, like I said, they had that same audit back in the late 2000s where they're like, hi, why are half of your students in the hospital for stress?
Wow.
And it's because art school is incredibly, incredibly stressful. It's so stressful.
So if you go to art school, just don't have a life is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, so let's talk about, okay, you know me, I work stupid hours all the time.
Brianna worked three jobs while going to school. Don't be Brianna. Brianna's hey, younger sibling, go take on a second job.
Second job's fine, you gotta hustle. So first year of art school, we actually had the college strike, which sucked. So, you know, we missed like 4 weeks of school. Actually, I don't even remember anymore.
I think it was more than that. Cause I remember Rachel being home for like almost 2 months.
Yeah. It was insane. We missed so much school. And then I remember I went back to school for a week. And then I ended up getting like super sick and was off school for another 2 weeks where I couldn't do work, which is crazy. And I still managed to finish the semester. But usually during school, all throughout college, I worked a part-time job. And working the part-time job for me was really, really important because it's part of what allowed me to graduate without any debt. And that's part of the reason, another half of that is I was very privileged to be a part of a family that, was able to financially support me in getting a car so I could actually get to school. And for the first 2 years of my college degree, I actually I lived with some family in Oakville before I moved on and started renting my own place for the last 2 years. But so I worked a part-time job all through college. And during the first 2 years, during first year, I worked 30 hours a week. And then during second year, I worked about 20 hours a week, all while going to school full time. And doing that with art school is stupid.
Stupid. Don't do it.
It's so stupid. Don't do it. If you're going to go to art school, those first 2 years, especially first year, it might seem that like you're not doing much at all and you can take on those extra hours and stuff at work. But they're so important for, you know, understanding the basics of doing art and doing,
and, you know, mental work. Health.
Mental health is huge. And it's something that like really kicked me in the ass when I was in second year. Which is not good.
Take care of yourselves.
Do it. Cause, you know, in art school, there's going to be people there who just want to talk shit, and that's it.
Yep.
And, you know, if you're not taking care of yourself, if you're not sleeping, if you're not eating, and when those people start talking shit about you, because they will, they talk shit about everyone, including, you know, each other and themselves, you're not going to be able to emotionally handle that. Mm-hmm. And that's not healthy.
I think university students, just because university in general is just so taxing. Like, even this year, like, I remember, like, I was working from, like, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. and every single day, even on weekends sometimes, most mm-hmm. of the time. Mm-hmm. Like, if you take another job, okay, your program may be less stressful, but make sure that, yes, you want to graduate with less debt, but not at the point where you are destroying yourself.
I think it's really interesting, you know, just because we're talking about part-time jobs, I think if you're working 20 hours a week and that's what works for you and you feel emotionally and mentally healthy, that's amazing. You should continue mm-hmm. doing that. That's great.
I know
for my program specifically, for the illustration program, you shouldn't be working more than 10 hours a week. You really shouldn't be doing it. But that being said, I think you should work a part-time job. Now, here's why I think this. Art school in particular and university in particular can be so, so immersive in your own problem, in your own program. You know, when you go to art school, all you do is art, and it's art every day, day in. You dream art, you drink art, you sleep art, you draw every second. And having that part-time job, one, it's nice. You get a bit of extra cash, a little bit of financial freedom. Always a good thing, always empowering. You know, you can go get that beer at the school pub when school opens back up again. But it also gives you something else to shift your focus from. And it gives you something else to shift your focus from art, because it's so consuming that, like, you need to step back at some points and be like, art is great. Art is amazing. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. But like, I have other passions too, and I have other things I want to do. And, having a part-time job, having that commitment, you know, every Saturday from 10 to 4, I need to be at this one place doing this one thing. You know, it forces you to take that step back from what you do. And it, you know, if you are working in a good, healthy environment, your coworkers, they're fun. It's fun to hang out and it's fun to do that sort of thing. And then at the end of the day, you can come back to your art, to your writing, whatever it is that you do. And you almost got a new perspective. You got a fresh outlook on whatever problem you've been trying to solve. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think part-time jobs are really good. Also, it gives you extra social skills that you'll need. Like, don't be one of those artists that all they do is art. all day. And literally just art. And then they don't know how to talk to anyone else.
It's a good
that doesn't help anyone.
It's a good way to burn yourself out and burn bridges at the same time. So
don't do that. Yeah, totally, totally. Like if you, whenever you only do one thing and it consumes every waking moment, especially with art school, like you regularly work 12 to 16 hour days during art school. Like you burn yourself out so quickly. Oh, that gives me another point about working a part-time job is, if you have to set aside 10 hours a week to go to this part-time job, that means you're kind of forced to work on your other homework more quickly, which sometimes, at least for some people, myself included, it means that you are less likely to overthink some decisions because you know you have to get it done. So you're just able to work through it and trust your judgment more than, if you're like, I think I have all the time in the world to do this. At least that was a problem I had. So,
Overthinking things.
overthinking things. It's brutal.
What
Totally
kinds
brutal.
of projects did you do in art school? Like, what were the assignments like?
So, illustration, especially at Sheridan, which is definitely different from illustration at OCAD, or I assume even like Nova Scotia School of Art and Design, is very editorial focused. And we do a lot of metaphor work. So, making visual metaphors to go along with articles and prompts and that sort of thing. One of my favorite projects, actually, one that was very challenging, was we had to design a series of four wine labels. And we got
Ooh.
like, yeah, we got like the types of wines and then, he that my professor gave us different like titans. Like it was like you could do these wine labels based off of what titans, or you could do it based off of like the Greek gods or whatever. I think there's a few other ones, but I forget. And yeah, you use that as your starting block and then design these wine labels. So we did stuff like that, and that was mostly in later years. In early years, you do a little bit of character design, you do some work that's designed to get you familiar with working digitally, or working with different programs, so 3D modeling, working in After Effects, working in a 2D to 3D space. So let's say you're doing drawings on traditional pieces of paper, learning how to like, get good scans of them and then putting them into compositions in After Effects and converting it to a 3D space, kind of things like that.
Yeah, that sounds a lot more, it sounds like my art school, like my art classes at high school, but just like so many of them.
So many of them, so many of them. All the time. Like, in second year, you have a digital class, you have a figure drawing, you have painting class, and then you also have your disciplines class, which is all about like what are the concepts, like intellectual concepts that we can think of, and how do we put them on paper. And then what else did we have? I think that there is another class, but honestly, I forget what it is, so it must not have been
Out
important, or I probably didn't like it that much.
of school for like a year, and you're like, all right, everything is going out of my brain.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And when you get up into fourth year, it's a lot of you design your own projects, and sometimes these projects can cross different courses. I mean, as long as you get professor approval from both the courses. So it definitely like it doesn't feel like you're taking multiple different courses anymore when you get up into fourth year. It just feels like everything is this one big mega blob of drawing, and that's
A
it.
mega course.
A mega course. Yeah, exactly.
Terrifying. Thanks.
You're welcome. I'm so happy to inform you about this. This is great.
So we have 5 minutes left. So I have my last two questions to ask you.
Yeah.
You ready?
I'm so ready. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. Get your paper ready.
I got my paper ready. I'm looking at my notes.
Is there anything we haven't talked about yet that you would like to talk about?
So I did mention like style earlier, and I just really want to emphasize that, like, don't get hung up on style. Don't get hung up if you don't have a specific style yet. Style is something that just kind of happens. It's something that, you know, comes over time. It comes over practice. And one day, like 5 years down the road, you'll turn around and look back and be like, oh, you know, I actually do have a specific way that I like to draw. And also, like, always take other people's critiques with a grain of salt. Like, you don't know where these people are coming from, what experiences they have, and or even what type of day they're having, right? If they're having a rough day, the critique may seem really harsh, but it doesn't actually really mean anything at all in the long run.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. Which kind of bleeds into my next question. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you would like to say to anyone maybe considering going into art school or just learning how to draw in general? Anyone who's like trying to get into things?
Okay, so I have two things I want to say for this. One is just like a general, like if you're going to get into something, and the other one is more like career specific. The first thing is it's okay to change your mind. Like sometimes the only way we can figure out what we actually want to do in life is by doing something and realizing that's not what we want to do. But eventually, somewhere down the line, you're going to have to choose something and do the thing. And even if you don't like it, like you need to be able to finish it if possible. Because sometimes when you finish things, you learn more from actually finishing the thing, even if you think it's only half decent, than stopping and starting something else all the time. And then the second thing that is more career specific, that if you want to become an illustrator or an animator, or just a creator in general, is you need to figure out your frickin' finances, man. you do. And this is the gross part about art. You know, we want to talk about like pretty things and creation and all of our different stories that are going through everyone's head all the time. But you can't create those things if you don't have enough to live on. If you are living out of your car, if you aren't able to eat. So, you know, you need to be able to figure out where your money is coming from right now, whether that means, you know, you're not making enough off of your art and you need to take on a part-time job for a little bit until you can start making enough off of your art to live on. Or, you know, whether that means, hey, right now I need to save money for the future. But you got to figure out your finances. You just have to.
Yeah, or even if maybe, like, do it as a side thing.
Well, that's it, right? A lot of the most common thing we heard in school is, as an illustrator, once you graduate school, it's going to take 2 to 5 years to start to make a living off of your illustration. And in the meantime, you still need to live. You don't just stop living for 2 to 5 years until, you know, you start drawing full-time and, like, making full-time money off of that. So most people have to get part-time jobs. Like, I still have a part-time job. All my friends still have part-time jobs. And that's just the reality of the situation. Because at the end of the day, we all got to eat.
What? You mean you don't subsist on, like, paint and like, electricity?
No. Paint's toxic. So please don't eat paint.
Oh, you're so picky.
I know. It's terrible. People do consist entirely off of coffee, though.
Yeah, that sounds about right. All right. Well, thank you for coming onto the show, especially on such short notice.
No, that's okay. Thank you so much for having me.
This was a lot of fun. I feel like I've become smarter. I've learned something.
Yay, good. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I could talk about illustration literally for another hour. Like,
I'll have you in again as for like a bonus episode of just like talking everything art.
A bonus episode. Let's talk about more style. What is our final count?
When I go back, okay. When I go back and edit, I'm going to go from the beginning and try and count them all. So once I do that, I will let you know.
This is amazing. I love it.
I think there have been at least 10 times that you've said it. If not more than that.
I'm sorry, guys. It's such a big topic. It's so big.
It is. It's a huge topic.
It's a huge topic.
All right. This has been another episode of In the Margins. If you like our show, check us out at radiolauria.com or at our Instagram page at In the Margins Podcast for more episodes. If you want to find Brianna, go to her website at brievanesh.com. That's BREEVANESCH.com. And her Instagram is at the same name. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.